Welcome back to hour number three of the Cook and Pony Show. We are really pleased to talk hockey with this Knicks gentleman. You hear him and see him do his great work on AT&T Sportsnet. Every Penguins game I'm talking about, Bob Airey. Hey, Bob, good afternoon. How are you today?
Hey, guys. Cookie, how you guys doing?
Hey, Bob.
I'm ready to talk some hockey.
Well, we're excited about tonight's game. I am. I love Bob, there's an extra juice when the Capitals and Penguins get together, and I like it even as much as the Flyers games and, you know, maybe Columbus. Would you agree? Do you feel a little bit of extra jolt before this game?
Well, you have to. I think it's it may be for the division, to be honest with you. One team has a chance to go up by eight with a couple of games in hand, and the other team's got a chance, the Penguins, to cut it to 4 points. So it's a big game, and I could sense a little gnarliness in our coach, Mike Sullivan, in his press conference today.
Bob, 9-3 in January, the Penguins were. How did they turn it around? Because for 3 months of the season, they didn't really look much like the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Well, they cared. You see the finish line a little bit. You get a little bit of rest, and schedule was not very good for the Penguins to start the season. They had a lot of breaks around that Christmas time and coming off with a week off after that even. Now the All-Star situation. So they've had some time to refocus and set their sights on the third Stanley Cup. And really, when you get all those things and a healthy lineup tonight, you're going to have the healthiest lineup you've had all season long. Everybody's ready to play. So it's all chips in now for the Penguins.
Bob, do you like this rivalry more than the Philadelphia one?
I do. Yep. I think this is, the Capitals have been the premier team in the National Hockey League for the last couple of years, and, you know, at least in our conference. So, and I think for the Penguins, they don't care if they win the President's Cup. It's the Stanley Cup that matters, but it is. There's a lot to be said winning that President's Cup every year, and Washington seems to be vying for that. They're the best team, and the Penguins just seem to have their number in the playoffs. And I think you have one team, the Penguins, that have shown that their youth has been able to come up. They've been a fast team, and the other team, the Washington Capitals, have lost some players along the way. I think they're not as good as they were last year, and for that reason, the Penguins, they're going to have their number again.
Bob, you talk about the lineup and everybody healthy. Who are your defensive pairings tonight? Does Ian Cole stay in, or do you go back to Matt Hunwick?
Yeah, I think you're just going to stay with what you had last game. I think Cole's going to stay in just based on the fact that we're playing the Washington Capitals. He's a big body guy that stands in the lane of Alexander Ovechkin's slap shot on the power play, a great penalty killer. He can body up against Wilson and some of the guys that he would have to. So I think it's I'm not going to say it's ever an easy decision. And for Mike Sullivan, it's been a tough decision sitting out a guy like Ian Cole, but he's played well the last couple of games, and they've won the last couple of games. And Matt Hunwick coming off the injury, I think he's going to have to wait at least one more.
Bob, why do you think that Washington has suffered through so many playoff failures in this Ovechkin, Backstrom era?
Well, I don't know. I think they're a consistent team, but they're an aging team and they're a slow team. I think Alexander Ovechkin's a heck of a hockey player, but I think there's been some players around him. I mean, they had to sign Oshie to a 6-year deal. He's a slow player. Backstrom's not a fast hockey player. Their defense has been aging. They lost Nate Schmidt. He's a guy that's getting the most minutes on the Vegas Golden Knights hockey team. I think they have some decent role players along, and they're able to do some things. But, when I talk about when you look at the Pittsburgh Penguins and you look at Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby and now Phil Kessel, you're matching those guys up against Alexander Ovechkin. And, I think sometimes it's unfair when you try to look at it just as a Crosby-Ovechkin matchup. I mean, Ovechkin's done his share. I mean, you can only do so much as an individual. I give him all the accolades in the world. He's one of the greatest players to me ever to play the game. He's really, in the era that I've been able to watch, the most prolific and best goal scorer we've been able to see. He's been a guy that's been able to play a physical brand of hockey at 230.
Well, I think we lost. Oh, there we go. We lost you there for a moment, Bob.
No, I'm driving around Pittsburgh.
I guess that explains it, that's for sure. We had Jim Rutherford on with us the other day, and obviously he feels a lot better about his team than he did a month ago, said he's still looking, always looking to make it better. Do you still think a third-line center is a necessity for this team? Do you think there will be at least a move or two made before the February 26th deadline?
Well, I think we still need one. I definitely do. I think you need a guy that's going to be able to go out there and win important face-offs. You know, right-handed centerman I would prefer. But, you know, in saying that, I like a left-handed centerman on that third line that so he can see Phil Kessel streaking down the right side. So you kind of got a conundrum there. It'd be nice to have that right-handed face-off guy that's going to win the draws. I guess that'll be Carter Rowney, and that's what he did last year. And he won a lot of big face-offs for the Pittsburgh Penguins on the penalty kill as well. You get a left-handed guy that can set up Phil Kessel and allow that third line to be able to score at a decent rate, then you have a good opportunity winning the Cup again. I think that is what they miss. I think they are looking at Matt Cullen. I heard you guys talk the other day to Jim Rutherford, and I don't think that's I think that could be, again, a possibility. We'll wait and see what happens, guys, and it's tough to make a deal these days.
Bob, if a team that had that third-line center you're talking about wanted Daniel Sprung back in the trade, would that be something you're interested in? Sprung is a trade chip this time of year. What are your thoughts on that idea?
You know, it's always, as the GM would say, it's always what you're getting in return. So you have to everything's open. Everything's
sure.
On the table. So it just depends on what you get back. Would you consider trading Daniel Sprung? Yeah, the Penguins would. Definitely they would. But they don't want to give him away for nothing. They know they have a bona fide goal scorer there and a guy that could fit a role down the way. You know, I like the way Daniel Sprung plays. I wouldn't give him away. Maybe I really have to be getting something in return that would make me a better hockey team today and not just fill a role for 20 games, hopefully to play for a couple more years. You know, maybe it's a younger guy. Maybe the Penguins are looking for, you know, a younger centerman in that kind of position. So, yeah, I would look at trading Daniel Sprung if you had to, but no, by no means am I looking to do that. I like Daniel Sprung's game. I think he could help the Penguins now and maybe this year's playoffs.
Bob, the Penguins certainly have an abundance of goaltenders here, and I'm thinking maybe one of those guys is a chip too. Your thoughts on what you've seen from Casey DeSmith, Tristan Jarry, and when we had Rutherford on the other day, he goes, the player that he's most asked about is Gustafson, the young goaltender. Man, it's not every club that has four young goaltenders, is it?
No, and boy, how blessed are the Pittsburgh Penguins. Matt Murray able to come in and win at 23 years of age now. That's all he is. And yeah, the Penguins are so blessed. I would. Gustafson's a great young player, played in the World Juniors. Tristan Jarry's a great goalie, as does Smith as well. I would definitely trade one of those guys. To me, that's the way to go. Everybody's looking for a good young goaltender, and these guys are great, great goaltenders. Don't ask me which one would be the guy. You know, it's going to be the other team that wants that particular guy. I think you can't choose one over the other right now. We've never seen Gustafson in the National Hockey League. I can tell you Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith impressed the heck out of me. But Matt Murray is the number one guy, and Mike Sullivan has made that, evident in his conversations over the last couple of weeks. We saw what Matt Murray did in the last two playoff runs. You guys, when you talk to me about who's going to play, Murray or Fleury, you know, there's nobody I like better than Marc-Andre Fleury and how great he's been this year. But I said last year that I'd go with Matt Murray just based on his play, based on his size. And the pucks just hit him when he's not making it look like they're spectacular saves. And he's won two Stanley Cups. So Mike Sullivan knows what he's doing, and he's not the only one making those decisions. What a great opportunity to trade one of those goaltenders. You don't need four of them, guys. You don't need four, and that could be the chip.
I was going to ask you more about Murray, too, Bob. I mean, I thought it was real important to get him going again, and at 40 saves the other night. You don't want him facing 42 shots every night, but met the challenge. And to me, that's the number one thing they got to get going down the stretch is Murray in net.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about that. They will get him going. He's a fantastic netminder. You know, I just look at his numbers. Even if you say he hasn't been spectacular this year, I thought he stole that game in the second period in the last outing against the Sharks. He's stolen many a games. I look at goaltenders around the league, and he's beat them all. You know, he's beat the Holtbys and the Bobrovskis in the playoffs. And I look at some of the goals that go in around the National Hockey League. I watched Connor Hellebuck, who's one of the best goaltenders in the West this year, along with Marc-Andre Fleury. He's standing, you know, inside his crease on the David Perron overtime goal. Little things like that. Matt Murray doesn't allow those things to happen. He's in great position. He's a challenging goaltender at 6'4". And he doesn't give you many freebies. He doesn't give you many freebies. And he's bested the best. And that's why, to me, he is the best in the National Hockey League when the chips are on the line.
We're talking to Bob Airey of AT&T Sportsnet here on the Cook and Pony Show.
Bob, I loved something that you said. I think it was out west. It might have been the Anaheim game. I didn't agree with it, but I loved that you had such a strong opinion on something. You said if the playoffs started today, you take the Penguins in a 7-game series over everybody.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, they have the two best players in the game in Malkin and Crosby, and they're playing at an elite level right now. You could say that Phil Kessel's had a better year than them, maybe, maybe not. You know, and he's playing at that elite level. The Penguins have two great goaltenders that I would call number one in any, you know, right now. I think they're missing a third-line center. They've got their power play and their special teams. Their penalty kill has been in the top three over the last month and a half. Their power play is insane. Maybe perhaps the best power play minus this Washington Capitals power play. But, you know, I'll take the Penguins power play over anybody. They don't take many penalties. Their January record is, again, elite. It's been better than the Anaheim Ducks and the Penguins have the best January record. When Mike Sullivan says you can't turn it on, this team has been able to turn it on. I think they have that pedigree, and they have a swagger right now about them, and they can see that finish line. So, you know, I just don't see another team beating them in a 4-game series. I see teams picking, whether it's Vegas or, you know, we're going to pick the Washington Capitals again. I don't see that. I see the Boston Bruins as being tough. I see the Toronto Maple Leafs as being a tough contender. Columbus aren't as good as they were last year when I thought they maybe played better hockey early in those games against the Penguins, but they're not as good as they are this year. Dubinsky may not come back or be half the player. They've lost Carlson. So I think the Penguins are just a better team all the way around in all facets of the game. And when you have that swagger and belief that they have, I just find it hard to believe that any team's going to beat them in a 7-game series.
Bob, there's been a lot of speculation about Ryan Reeves. He's been scratched 3 in a row. I know he's going to play tonight because of the injury to Sherry, and probably a good thing because Capitals and Tom Wilson play a heavy game. Where do you come down on the trade when a guy only plays 3, 4, 5 minutes a game and then gets scratched, yet Jim Rutherford and Mike Sullivan just rave about the value he brings to the team?
Well, I don't know if they rave. They have him scratched. So, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. If he's not in the lineup every night, then you can talk all you want. But, you know, it's who's on the ice and how many minutes you're playing. You know, Ryan Reeves does, I think, is a good player. And I think Ryan Reeves took some penalties early in the season. He was trying to find his role and trying to get up to speed with the pace that the Penguins played at. And let's face it, the Penguins, as a team, did not play well early in the season. They had some terrible nights. And as a result, other players are going to pay a price for that because you want to be involved with a team that's winning. You want to be involved with a winning lineup. Teams don't change winning lineups. You want to be involved when, you know, the team's got its mojo. So Reeves, you hope he doesn't miss out on a lot of this mojo that's going on right now. He's involved in a struggle that this team had to endure over the first half of the season. I think he's going to get his opportunity. I think he is a plus. I think he's not at all a liability. I think he's can be a positive player for this team, and that's what you want. You just want to be a positive. And I think Ryan Reeves can be that. I like some of the things he brings to the team, and as long as he's playing to that line and not over that line and not taking those penalties. You know, nobody likes those penalties. Ian Cole took a couple of penalties. It got him out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. Ryan Reeves took a couple of penalties. It got him slivers on the bench. You know, this game is too tough right now, and momentum can change on a dime and swing either way. They want those type of players to play to that level, but not over that line.
Bob, I love the balance when Kunackle and Rust were the wingers on that fourth line, even though the centerman wasn't playing much. I thought their team looked maybe the most complete or the best it's looked all year. My opinion is if Sherry had been healthy, if he were good to go tonight, even with Wilson on the other side, I probably would have scratched Reeves again.
That's a possibility. That's definitely a possibility. I'm not exactly sure how it would have played out. And I don't necessarily disagree with you. The Penguins had a four balanced lines playing that speed game. They've been very successful in January. And who are you going to take out of the lineup? You know, who are you going to take out of the lineup? So it would have been a very tough decision. I think you're probably right. And Ryan Reeves may have stayed out of the lineup again. One thing I didn't like in the last game is the slew foot on Sidney Crosby early in the game, and nobody stepped up to the plate after that. You know, and we could say, you know, Ryan Reeves not in the lineup and somebody takes advantage of Crosby. I don't think that's the case there. There's enough. There's enough team toughness. The Penguins have won with team toughness. They don't necessarily need a goon in their lineup, and not to say that Reeves is because he can play hockey. But they don't need a fighter necessarily. They need somebody else to step up and bop somebody in the nose, and Sidney Crosby get slew-footed like that. You know, maybe not even a bop in the nose, but a concentrated effort to run that guy through the boards. And I could see a guy like Chris Kunitz doing that. You know, guys like that, or even, you know, Ian Cole. You know, guys that just play the hard brand of hockey. It'd be nice to have them just, you know, take a guy aside and just run him through the boards.
Bob, I wanted to ask you about Jaromír Jágr now that it looks like his NHL career is over. Is he one of the greatest wingers, if not the greatest winger of all time? Do you put him ahead of Ovechkin? I mean, where do you put Jágr in the hierarchy of the greatest guys to ever do it at his position?
Yeah, it's funny. I never really thought about his position. Just think about greatest players of all time. Jágr is one of the greatest players of all time, and perhaps, yeah, maybe he is just thinking greatest wingers of all time. You got to put him probably ahead of Ovechkin right now just because of the Stanley Cups. He was a big part of those Stanley Cups. He wasn't just a player there, you know, even though he was on the third line with myself and Brian Trotsky in the first one, and then, you know, some big plays that he made against the Chicago Blackhawks in the second run. And as it continued on, his longevity speaks for itself, where he ranks all time in every category, statistical category. Yeah, he's one of the greatest all time, perhaps the greatest winger all time. Can't say enough about the way he came in as a youngster and was able to use his skills and improve on his skills and just have a passion to play the game, guys. And, you know, when I think about these players, I think about what they've done on the international stage as well. I think that should count. Alexander Ovechkin's been great for Russian hockey and what he's been able to do in world championships and what he does for his country. Same with Jaromír Jágr and the Czech Republic and what he's been able to do. Why not? I think that when you're looking at a hockey player, you're looking at his totality, what he's been able to do on all levels throughout the world and on that world stage. And Jágr's been incredible.
Bob, before we let you go, Marc-Andre Fleury comes back Tuesday night. I think all of us are already looking forward to it. I don't know if we're going to see another night like that or if we have seen another night like that.
I can't remember it. I'm trying to think. And, you know, even seeing the piece that Dan Potash did with Marc-Andre Fleury was touching. When we went in and played in Vegas, it was incredible to see the masses of 29 jerseys. Teams, players, or fans wearing 29. It was sold out. I couldn't get anything for a Christmas gift. Talking to him after the game, so happy for him. I watched him play last night. I think it's the Vegas story is a great story. Marc-Andre Fleury, it's a fantastic story. I was so happy he won again last night. I had mixed emotions. I wanted to see him perform at a high level when the Penguins played him. And I hope it's an equally as impressive game. And you know, I have a lot of respect for Matt Murray, and I hope it's Murray-Fleury chance, and I hope it's a battle between those two guys, and I hope, you know, at the end of the day, of course, nobody's going to be slighted. It is what it is. You, Marc-Andre Fleury was really everything for the Penguins throughout his career. 14th all-time in wins right now, and you know, he's going to get. And Matt knows it. Matt Murray backed off last year. He knew his place in the whole situation, and he's very respectful of Marc-Andre Fleury, and it's vice versa as well. I can't wait to see it, guys. I kind of got chills thinking about it, and I just hope it works out for everybody. And what a story. What a story for Marc-Andre Fleury and the Vegas Golden Knights.
Bob, we appreciate
Thanks,
it as
Bob.
Always, man. We value your time. I'll look forward to seeing you at the rink tonight, okay?
Yeah, and, you know, I listen to Cook and Pony all the time. I love listening to you guys. I really do, and you guys do a great job, and great to be on with you.
Well, you add to
Thanks,
it, man.
Bob.
Thank you, Bob. I'll see you tonight.
See you, man.